One of the awe-inspiring moments in our Easter liturgy this morning, well, I have to say I was thrown off. I haven't heard that Alleluia. What a beautiful Alleluia that was sung by Nathan. But I think perhaps one of the most glorious of all liturgical actions here at St. Cecilia is the moment when we rang the bells outside, the bells inside, and then thoughtfully opened the doors of our back altar, and we sang our great hymn of praise and joy, the Gloria. We do it here at St. Cecilia with a lot of bells and whistles as usual, supported by the beauty of the flowers, the full choir, the art, the beautiful art here, and the smell of incense. All of this here on Easter. We are celebrating something not very ordinary at all. We're celebrating something, of course, special. We see that in the number of people that are here this day. That's something special that is not ordinary, is that Jesus Christ has raised himself from the dead. No other person, no other being could do that except God himself. And that's what God does. He raises himself to show who he is. And not just that Jesus came back to life, that is what we celebrate today, but most importantly, what it means to us, even 2,000 plus years later. And what it means and communicates to us now is this. It communicates to us that we have a loving and merciful God that doesn't want to be without us. He wants to be with us in this time and space on earth and forever in heaven. He wants to live with us eternally. He wants to be with us more than these short earthly years that we have been given. And he wants more. He wants more for every single one of us. For when our life is ended, he continues on. It continues on when there's no more pain, no more sorrow, where every tear is wiped away, pure joy, paradise God gives us. And God gives us the means. He gives us the means to have it all, to have this paradise with him. By giving us his power, his grace. He gives us a power and a grace. Recently, I was talking to a teenage girl, and she said to me, "Father, it is not fair that God sets us up to fail. It's not fair. He sets us up to fail. There's too many temptations in this world." And I think we all can commiserate in some ways. There are a lot of temptations in our lives. There's a lot of things that pull us away, that want to bring us to separation from God. "But to set us up to fail?" I said. No, God doesn't set us up to fail. God did not set us up to fail, but to succeed. He set us up to succeed, to bringing himself down to this earth in Jesus Christ, who in turn gives us the means to stay with him. He gives us the means to stay with him. For through Jesus, sin and death no longer have power. Through Jesus, sin and death no longer have power. No longer have separation. Can be no more. It can be no more, that sin and death. For he gives us the power, first of all, through baptism. He gives us the means for no separation through baptism. Because at baptism, we baptized 8 people last night, and it was glorious at our Easter vigil. At baptism, we are given a new orientation. God gives us a new orientation. We can overcome sin in our lives. That is so hopeful. We can overcome sin. We can beat it. We can be victors over it. That's what about that flag's about with Jesus, the resurrected Lord. He has that flag because we can have victory over sin. We can through his grace, his power. If we ask for it, if we open ourselves up to it. We can overcome death. We can have victory over it. Indeed, through baptism. And through baptism, also what it allows us to do to beat sin and death, it gives us the power and a calling to be a priest, a people that prays, a prophet, a one that witnesses, and a king, a one that leads. This orientation leads us to Jesus Christ. Indeed, he loves us, and he gives us a path, a baptism. You know, separation can be no more. Sin and death can have no power over us because of the forgiveness of God's sins. He forgives us of our sins. You know, often it is said, why does God come to this earth? You know, why did he come down to this earth? It's important for us to realize he came down, most importantly, for the forgiveness of sins. He doesn't want us to be separated from us. He wants us to be near him. You know, and I think it's important for us to realize, and maybe this is you, if you think you have sinned, your sin that you have, maybe you have a sin, and you think it can't be forgiven. Or maybe you think you're beyond forgiveness. Or maybe you feel that you've lived this terrible life, that you don't deserve God in your life. Well, I want to tell you today that you are wrong. You are wrong. God has infinite mercy for everybody. He gives us all mercy. God wants us close to him, and so he is willing to forgive us. You know, I think the person that most often isn't able to forgive us is ourself. You know, we got to get over ourselves. Indeed, God forgives us. We must let go. We must let go and let God forgive us and to move forward. You know, it can be no more that sin and death have power. Sin and death have no power because of church, because of the Mass. You know, Jesus Christ instituted this Mass, and we celebrated that on Holy Thursday for a reason, so that we would stay united to him. I know this morning we have many that, you know, you don't go often to church. You don't come to Mass that often, regularly. At times, maybe you're a Christmas, Ash Wednesday, and Easter Catholic. That's okay. It's all right. But I want to address you a little bit, and not to beat you up at all. I want you to know that I'm glad that you're here. I don't really care if it was guilt that brought you here. If it was guilt that brought you here, good. I'm okay with that. You know, if it was your parents that brought you here, great. That's good. I'm happy for it. If it was a relative or someone that loves you, whatever means that brought you here, I love it. I love it. And I'm grateful. And we're all grateful that you're here. It is good that you are here. But do you know who is the happiest that you are here? Do you know who the happiest person is that you are here? Maybe you think it's your parents that you think is the happiest that you're here. It's not your parents. Maybe you think it's your spouse, or maybe someone that loves you. It's not them either. Maybe you think it's God. It's not God either. You know who is the happiest that you are here? Do you know who that person is? Your soul. Your soul is the happiest person that you are here. Because your soul desperately craves to be nourished by the Word of God. It wants to hear the Word of God. You know, oftentimes our wills will say, it's just a story, just a bunch of made-up stuff, so we would stay, you know, disciplined. You know, there'd be world order. You know, sometimes our wills say that. Well, I don't need to hear that. But I can tell you that your soul pines for the Word of God. Your soul pines and craves to be united intimately to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. You know, your will might say, it's just a wafer. It's not the real thing. Ordinary elements of bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ. That's hogwash.
But your soul, it craves it. It craves it. It wants to be united to Jesus. It wants to be intimately in your body. That's how much God loves us. He wants to be in you. And your soul pines to be a part of a Christian family in this Eucharistic meal, this family meal, this special meal here at Easter and every single week. You know, your will might say, nah, they're a bunch of hypocrites, you know. You know, we're all recovering hypocrites, aren't we? Every single one of us, we're constantly going back and forth trying to be faithful to God. Indeed, we're on a journey and we need God and we need one another. Indeed, your soul pines to be united to other Christians. It pines to be at a festival together. It pines to be at Donut Sunday. It pines to be involved in a ministry of the church. It pines for that. But oftentimes our will say, you know what? I want to get on a sports league on Sunday. You know? I want to sleep in. But your soul pines to be together with your Christian community. Your soul pines to be the Eucharist too. You're called to be what you eat. To go out into the world and be the Eucharist. You know what Mass means? And I've often said this. It means to be sent. That's the purpose of the Mass. That you become nourished and you're sent forth. Indeed, your soul pines to do this. You know, your will could be said, I got better things to do. You know, that's just the faith. It's all a matter of opinion. You know, there's no truth, but indeed there is truth. And we're called to live it out in our world. Indeed, our soul pines to do that. Indeed, as we come here to celebrate this Easter Mass, it is good that we are here. It is great that every single year we establish a day where we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, that he overcame sin and death, and what it means to us. And what it means to us is our soul desperately needs the Lord. It desperately pines to be united to him and to bring him to the world as one. May we live for this, and may we die for this. Amen.